and you're going to learn this from Mike in the training, is that we have two roles, and as funeral directors, we have two roles. We have a role of being a funeral director and serving families after we've secured the call, and we're helping that family out however they want to honor their mom, you know, their mother's life or their father's life or their loved one's life. And that's one role that we as funeral professionals have. We've got a second role, though, as educators. And we know, all of us collectively, know so much about funeral service, and we don't always, we just assume that people understand what we understand. But if we go, and Mike's going to teach you this, of to educate those people on the phone, whether they choose your funeral home or not, but more than likely they will, because you'll be answering the questions that are burning in their mind. And you are going to take them from a point of being price sensitive to a point of wanting to work with you. And, you know, Mike and I, we practice what we preach, and, you know, we'd love for you to take this program and register and work with us through the month of November. But, you know, if it's not for you, that's okay. You have access to all of the free information. There's 3 or 4 hours worth of training that's available. There's going to be some more resources put up next week, so that's fine. And so even if you don't register, we are providing information, and hopefully it'll help you out. But you know, we feel that by just securing one price shopping call would probably add more than $1,000 to your bottom line and more than cover the price of this program. And but once you understand the information and put it to use, it's going to pay for itself over and over again. Mike, do you have any final comments?
Well, I don't. I've kind of said my spiel. People know me. People trust me. When it comes to value, I've always been recognized as a person who gives outstanding value and more value than what is anticipated or even promised. And I can certainly promise them some winning ways in gaining new business by acquiring more phone shoppers. And that you will see that a great number of phone shoppers are not always after that low price, that once you start getting these price shoppers into your funeral homes, that they many times will be the people having $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 celebrations and funerals and farewells. And you're going to be scratching the back of your head and say, wow, I'm glad I know some of the secrets that have made the difference in my practice. And like you said, if you were to get one or two price calls per month, what would that mean to your bottom line and to your reputation in town? Did you say you have a question or two that came in?
Yep, there's some other ones here. Okay. Can you please give a few more sample questions to ask the caller for obtaining more personal information?
Oh, yeah. Next week you're going to get tons of them. Tons of them.
I think
personal information. If you want to give personal service, you must get personal. So what can we ask? What are your, like I said earlier, what are your three concerns about choosing a funeral home? Gee, Mrs. Jones, you've told me that you are calling other funeral homes. Other than price, what are your three concerns about choosing a funeral home? Listen to what they have to say. They may have concerns about, it's hard to trust anybody today because, and now you can talk about your value position. You can talk about the fact that when you go to the hospital to get her husband, that you do a thorough inspection with the hospital personnel present, that you record on a data sheet any property that might be on him, that you make notes of his physical condition, and that when we get back to our funeral home, we unwrap him and make a very thorough inspection now. In other words, Mrs. Jones, we treat your husband as if he was a member of my own family. You can ask questions such as, how familiar are you with the cremation planning process? See, we should not assume that or even expect our customers or the public to know what we know about our business and about our responsibilities and about our duties. For the most part, these have remained proprietary. We have kept them almost like a secret. Oh, we're not going to tell anyone what we do. And yet I will tell you that one of the big concerns on the part of people is, what happens to my husband once he is inside your facility? How often do we share that with people? Other personal questions, so that I can better help you, so that I could provide you with the information that we need. What is the most personal concern you have right now? You never know what you might hear. Like I talked in earlier seminars, you may come to find out that their children are expected home from school in 2 hours, and she does not know how to explain the fact that grandfather died earlier in the day to them. This now opens the door for you to be much more than just an impersonal voice on the telephone. You can help her deal with this. It might be, tell me who is the family? I'm the wife. Who are the other family members? Are they all present? And if they're not, why not? And how come? And then, how are you? I know you told me that you do not want a funeral, and the last thing that I'm going to endeavor to do is to push a funeral on you. What you are saying to me, I have heard from other people in our community, and I want you to know that we are much more than directors of funerals. I want to help you deal with this loss. Share with me how you and the family are planning on saying goodbye. And listen to what they have to say.
Mike, I've got a couple more.
Sure.
And this is going to put you not on the spot, but going to make you think a little bit. I'd have to think about this a little bit, because we do have some cemetery and crematory operators on the call as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do I pull in a cemetery shopper, and what suggestions do you have for personalizing a cemetery service, and that can be explained over the phone? This seems to be more difficult than personalizing a funeral service.
Well, we're talking about memorialization. when we talk about a cemetery is a symbol of a memorialization. A cemetery to me is much akin to when I go to Washington, D.C. and see the Lincoln Monument, when I go and view the Vietnam Wall. These are all forms of memorialization. And what that cemetery can do to promote memorialization, people in the cemetery business believe that a cemetery is about death. I do not. I believe that a cemetery is a place about life. How is the cemetery nurturing the concept of life in their respective community? All cemeteries, for instance, are filled with lovely trees and shrubs and flowers, and for the most part are meticulously kept. They may have tremendous points of history within that cemetery. They may have some very popular, well-known people who are buried or interred within that cemetery. How are we bringing the picture about life forward to our community? For instance, do we ever have a person who is expert with flowers, a horticulturalist, whatever the case might be, to present on a monthly basis all of the beautiful flowers and trees here in our cemetery with a walking tour? And we will provide all of this information to you on what are some of the best shrubs and flowers in our area, how to fertilize them, how to maintain them. There are some cemeteries who are focusing not so much on price shoppers, but they are focusing on getting cars driving through their gates. With every one of my cemetery customers, one of the very first questions that I ask them is, on a daily basis, how many cars drive into your cemetery for whatever reason, not including your employees? Well, we have never kept track of that. We don't know. Well, why don't you know? I think this is important information. How can you increase the number of people in your community to drive to your cemetery and to see what you have? Maybe you need to have a special horticultural garden that is open to the public and in which you provide expert information as to how you can have a garden in your backyard as well. And you become a resource more of life than you are about death. And that when you do have an important figure that is maybe buried in your cemetery, why not have a recognize this person special day? And maybe invite a member of the family to attend. And why not have someone recite that person's accomplishments? Why not have play his favorite song? Why not that evening in your auditorium show that favorite movie of that person? I mean, there are so many ways to promote the concept that we as cemeterians and funeral directors are no longer about death, that we are about life. Did that answer the question, Rod?
I think that was great, Mike. You know, I think too, by looking at just some of those are great examples, but by, you know, looking at what we do a little bit differently within, you know, maybe it's how you operate your facilities and, you know, the whole environmental movement, not talking about green burial, but talking about just how do you operate your equipment within your cemetery? And I know some cemeteries are actually using that as a differentiating factor. So lots of great things, and I'm sure that we'll
You know, one thing that I'm going to mention to you, and this is really coming from way out in left field. I don't know if anyone here is from the Los Angeles area, but in the Los Angeles area, a relatively new plumbing company started years ago, and they began advertising something that really differentiated them from all other plumbers. It was so simple that it catapulted them to be the number one plumbing, residential plumbing company in Los Angeles. Now, that's saying something, okay? Mm-hmm. And here is how they differentiated themselves. It simply said, our plumbers smell good. Because plumbers have a connotation of always smelling bad. Well, what if at my cemetery I said our staff is impeccably dressed? I don't know. What if they had great uniforms? And what if they had great respect for visitors? And what if the guy who's using the backhoe sees someone standing at a grave 100 yards away and jumped off of that backhoe and went over to that person and said, is there anything special that I can do to make your visit here memorable or more comfortable? I mean, what if that was done? What impact does that have? See, put yourself in the shoes of the customer. You know, when you go to your doctor and or your dentist and you have your wisdom tooth pulled or you're having a root canal and you do it at 9 o'clock in the morning and you're home at 11 o'clock and you're knocked out and you're in pain, you're not feeling really good. And at 7 o'clock that night, your dentist calls you and maybe speaks to your wife because you're still not all that you want to be. And your dentist says, Mrs. Kubasak, I want to know, how is Mike doing? Wow. What kind of impact does that make? Is he building a loyal customer? You better believe it. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to go out of my way to tell my neighbors and friends about this dentist. I will go out of my way. And guess what? Price almost becomes beside the point at that stage. See what I'm saying?
And that's what we want to do, Mike. We want to move them from, I like to use this, is in three steps. So right at the beginning when they don't know anything, they're focused on price. Then we move them up to value, and if we can demonstrate the value and how we differentiate. But then that's a great place to operate. But you can, if you move them up to the next level of being relational, then, you know, as long as your fees are within reason, you know, they want to do business with people who they know, who they like, and who they trust. And if you get them to that level, you've achieved all those.
All things being equal, people want to do business with friendly people. All things not being equal, people still want to do business with friendly people. How's that for a winner?
That's good. Now, Mike, we've got just only 10 minutes left here before we've been on for 2 hours. So I've got a couple more questions that have come in about the program. So will all the programs be recorded? And the answer is yes. So how a typical week would be, so November 10th, you will go into work and you'll open, you turn on your computer and you'll get, you'll have an email with information to a private website, a private portion of the website where you'll log in with your special information. And there will be the first video waiting for you there that you can watch online, or you can download that video and then watch it on your computer, or you can download the audio and follow along with the PowerPoint handouts. And then a few days after that, on the Thursday, probably about the same time, 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll have a live Q&A call. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but when Mike and I do this, we always schedule them for an hour, and for some reason, I don't know what it is, Mike, but we're always pushing the 2-hour point. So, but it's just that I'm just kidding with you, Mike. I know you've
No, it's a critical topic. There is immense interest.
Yeah,
and funeral directors know that I'm not here for the short haul. We're here to provide the help, and we give far more value than they're going to be able to find anywhere else. It's that simple.
And now, so then when we have that Thursday live Q&A call, or kind of like office hours kind of thing, you can listen live. You can either phone in, just like how you phoned in today if you've done that, or you can listen via the streaming audio. Or you can listen to the recording. So if you can listen to it live, great. If you can't, the recording will be there. And the website's going to be up for 2 or 3 more months after the final session anyway. So you'll be able to go back and look and make sure that you get your copy of those, of all of the recordings of the videos and the audios and all the bonuses that Mike and I have talked about. So... Mike, I do have one last question for you. There's a couple more, but this one came in, and I just want to put this one out to you. How do you get past, and then in quotes, the helpful friend? You know, there's that person, whether it's the son-in-law or the nosy neighbor that accompanies the person and is always directing them what to do, and even sometimes this could be the priest, but that helpful friend that only has a significant, like a very small portion of information more than the next of kin, but really doesn't know what they're talking about, but they have more influence on the next of kin than the funeral director or the cemetery.
Yeah, you're talking about the next-door neighbor who's being helpful and is calling the funeral home on behalf of the bereaved widow, right?
Even when they're,
Sure. Well, you do it just about the same way, but not in as much detail. The idea is not to interrogate the person on the phone or to even denigrate the person on the phone, but to say, gee, as a friend, I only wish I had several friends like you who are willing to be so kind and so helpful to Mrs. Jones at this very difficult time. Let me assure you that no one is more willing or better prepared to assist you and Mrs. Jones at this time than we are. And because this is such a personal type of event, I'm really not capable of providing too much of a personal information as I could to the wife. And I am sure that you understand my position and where I'm coming from and what I'm talking about, just as if the role was reversed. Let me assure you that you should assure Mrs. Jones that we will stay within her budget, that we have been serving the community for more than 75 years, and that we are the funeral home of choice here in our community. Is there any more information that I can help you with? No, there is no... Well, there's never a set routine. See, these kinds of things, For instance, part of what we're going to be discussing in the next 3 weeks is the need to maybe take the back of your business card and to put some key words on the back of that business card and tape it by all of the telephones in your funeral home, so that regardless of where you are in the funeral home or what you might be doing in the funeral home, that when you get a call, you're out in the flower room and you're stapling the sympathy cards onto the ribbon and doing all those kinds of things, and the telephone rings and you're the only one there, you pick up the phone, you're a little sweaty, you've got your hands full of pollen and your suit is dirty, and we all know what that's like. And lo and behold, there's a person on the other end of the line that says, "Oh, my father just died, and we don't know what to do, and so on and so forth. But we're calling around. Can you tell me how much do you charge for a funeral?" And now you've got your ammunition right there next to the telephone. See, these are some key secrets. It can mean the difference between getting a call and not getting a call, and having those two or three key phrases. But there is no canned, statement that is going to work with everyone under every situation. But we will show you how to be flexible and adaptable in applying this per the needs and the desires of the phone caller. Some people will want to know much more information than others. Some people will want to know how you embalm, why do you embalm. They're going to ask you that. Well, how prepared are you to answer that? I'm going to help you be prepared to answer that.
Well, Mike, let me. I'm just going to give a recap of the program, and then we're going to sign off before the top of the hour. So, first, we appreciate your time today, listening to Mike and I. Hopefully, you got some benefit out of going through a little bit of the basic math of and why it's so important to take this seriously, because it's only going to increase and. Here we're providing, Mike just gave a wealth of information over the last couple hours that you can use, you could start using today. So when you leave this call and you end up getting a price inquiry this afternoon, that you can put it to work. And the program that Mike's putting together, together with myself, Price Shopper Secrets, is going to have three modules. And starting on November the 10th, and going through until November the 25th or the 26th, and you can either participate live or listen and or watch the recordings. And not only will you get those three modules where Mike's going to share all this information, but the bonuses are you're going to get the first call training, which is an hour-long audio for funeral directors and arrangers, administrative staff, part-time staff, and answering service personnel, plus some valuable documents that Mike's going to share for his first call record, order of release form, and confirmation of the delivery of the deceased to the funeral home form, plus two of my very intricate spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets, the competition tracker that tracks your market share both in calls and in dollars, and the price point analyzer, which is going to demonstrate the effects of price matching and also a tool to use every year when you raise your prices. So we're offering this to our funeral professionals, our colleagues within the industry at $497. Official registration starts this Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern on November the 3rd, and it's just going to be, I believe, it's a one-of-a-kind program. You're not going to get this anywhere else, and it's going to be great because not only will you get all the information, you can share this information with your staff And also any new staff that you get from this point forward, you'll have this resource available to use with them. And Mike has his guarantee that, you know what, if you go through the entire program and you think that, you know, it wasn't worth your $500 investment plus your time, you can keep the materials and we'll refund the money. We want to make sure, we honestly believe that there is going to be so much more valuable than your $500 or your $497 investment that that it's just going to be something that you'll be able to use over and over again and put to use and start winning those calls. You'll become stronger. Unfortunately, your competition will become weaker, and you'll be able to continue to serve families with the high level of service that you've been doing for years and generations. Mike, any last comments? You have 1 minute.
No last comments. Thanks for spending time with me today and with Rob, and we look forward to sharing some valuable additional information with you.